bless you, sir. You turned that on.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, I did. I turned myself on, I think. Yes.
Okay. It's always a privilege to be here. It was kind of unexpected. I scheduled a camp. This is the big time for camping in Brazil. It's the época, the time. I'll speak English if I can. The time for carnival retreats. And we scheduled one there at the camp, Serra da Graça. And no sooner had I got it set up than the home office informed me that I needed to be in Cleveland on Wednesday this week, this past week. So I was the speaker. So a little bit complicated, but we arranged it. Got a fellow that I led his parents to the Lord way back in our Cochia church, and he's now a pastor at one of our churches. He's got more gray hair than I do, which isn't saying a lot, you know, if you think about it. But Douglas is his name, and he took over the preaching for me after I left. I have a few pictures that I brought along. Nothing organized, just to let you know how the construction stand. It's actually further along than what you see because we received a gift from a gentleman who used to be a member here at Buffalo Ridge, and $30,000. We were able to put quite a bit into that. They're pouring the concrete this week, and so what you see now with the framing that you'll see, the wood around the edge, all that's going to be filled with concrete. That'll be the floor for the second level of our building. Okay, go ahead. I'll see what's going to happen here. Yeah, so you can see the framing there. That's the inside. That's will be our downstairs meeting area. Those posts there just hold up the beams. Go ahead. There's another view of them a little bit from an angle going down. I would have had, yes, this is from the side of the building. That's the edge of our property. Here's our camp that I left behind. The young people, we had about 60 young people meeting for the camp this week. Go ahead, another one. And that must be it. Okay, great. Had a video, but couldn't quite get it here. It was on my Brazilian telephone. Wanted you to see a little of that. Thank you for your help and all that you've done to pray for us. We're going to open tonight in the book of Romans chapter 15. I want to talk about that. But before I do, let me give you some other reports. This has probably been the busiest time of my life. I don't know when I have had more going than we do right now. Taking on the administration for the home office, though I do it in Brazil, has occupied a little more time than I thought it would take. My co-worker was not supposed to go on furlough, but he had a necessity due to lack of finances and had to go home to raise some money so he could come back to Brazil and work with us. And his absence has really, really been something we felt. In Portuguese, we say that you feel in your skin. Well, yes, I've been feeling it in my skin ever since Jeff and Judy left. We had a little crisis in the church and had to rediscipline somebody that we had already had to discipline before, and that was a sad thing, but yet it had to be done. There's always something going on, and the work continues. I have paperwork to keep up with. I haven't hired a secretary yet. I don't know why. I've been there 33 years. Haven't gotten around to it, but still have that kind of work to do. So pray for me. It is a burden to carry the things. Renee is my right-arm person, but when I get back, as soon as I get back, I will be her right-arm person because she's going to have surgery. She's got to reattach a tendon in her shoulder, and that means in addition to everything we have going, she's going to be out of action. She can't drive. She can't lift anything. And she says, she can't play the piano. We talked about me curling her hair. We decided we would buy her a hat. So that's going to happen. And then right before I left, we with some help of a number of brethren, we were able to buy a van when Pastor was down in November with Bob and the other brother right here. I was using that van. What I didn't know was that I already was illegal. The van is only supposed to be driven at a special velocity marked on signs that I was not aware of. And I knew that they had those special signs, but it says heavy vehicles. And when I would go through the toll booth, they would charge me for a light vehicle. And I said, okay, I'm a light vehicle. And I paid the toll for a light vehicle. And I drove around as a light vehicle, but I was a heavy vehicle, and I got so many tickets driving that van just when we had teams here. On the first day I picked up the team from Maranatha Baptist University, I got three tickets that day. Now, could I have resolved it? Yes, I could have figured that out, except that they had closed the post office in my town, and I didn't get the notification. This is all done digitally, of course. I did not get the notification. So when I finally got a post office box, when they opened up a new post office in town, the first thing I got was a stack of tickets. And I found out that I was over the limit for points. Well, if I had not had to renew my license on the 16th of February, I could have let the thing run for quite a while because it only came into effect when I renewed. But that happened just as I was coming, we had a team from the States here just while we were here. So I went in. They told me what was going to happen. They said, but you can plead your cause. I said, oh, great, I'm going to plead my cause. I'm going to tell them a sad story, and maybe they'll let me off. And so I said, well, when can I do it? They said, well, you can do it right now if you want to. I said, great, I'll do it right now. Bad, 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 bad idea. I could have waited 2 weeks to plead my case. Had I waited 2 weeks to plead my case, I could have driven my car for two more weeks. But I went in to do it, and they said, here, give us your driver's license. Thank you. I said, I was going to plead my case. They said, that's life. So I lost my driver's license for a month. Apparently, by going in and pleading my case, it was reduced from 3 months to 1 month. So I did actually accomplish something, but nobody explained that. They just took the driver's license, stapled it to a document, and put it away. And I said, can I drive home? They said, if you're caught, you will lose your license for 2.5 years. I said, can I drive home? If you're caught, they wouldn't tell me. I said, okay. So anyway, that's how we've been doing. Renee's been my driver for the last 2 weeks. So this is life in Brazil. Welcome to where we live. Any other news? I can't think of it. I might think of it as we go on tonight. Lord has blessed us. This trip back has been a joy. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. It's always fun just to be back. And you even brought in nice weather for me. I came in, Cleveland was terrible. We're in summer in Brazil. Came back, Cleveland was snowy and icy and cold. I drove down here and you brought the sun out. So thanks a lot. Romans chapter 15. Now, if I ask tonight, what's your favorite book of the Bible? I'm sure there'd be many choices. Probably a lot of people say Psalms. Maybe some people say the book of John. But I have a suspicion that a good number of people, maybe particularly people that are really serious students of the Bible, would say that their favorite book of the Bible is Romans. I mean, every time I have to stop myself from preaching on Romans. I'd love to preach on Romans all the time. It's just, there's so much depth and power in this book. And you start off and you get the description of man and his depravity, and we find out that men are lost, whether they be Jew or Gentile. We find that men are under condemnation and judgment. We find that justification has been provided for all, whether they're Jew or Gentile. It's by faith that we receive the righteousness of Christ. We see the consequences of justification. We see Christ condemned for all and Christ providing life for all. We see the work of grace being worked out in not only in our new nature, but even the remnant of the old nature and how that all works together. We see grace and God's plan described, and we get through reading it, we say, wow, whew, I didn't get all that. But it's there, and it's good. And then in chapters 12 through 15, we have practical applications, and that's really important. But you know, I kind of became aware just recently, reading through this again, that the book of Romans is really also, maybe fundamentally, it's a long missionary letter. It's a letter written by a missionary, and guess what he's doing? He's asking for help, financial help. We're in Romans chapter 15 right now, and we won't read the whole chapter, but let's start with verse 18. I want you to see this. This was kind of a revelation to me. I get to the end of Romans, and there's so much great stuff. I think I have a tendency getting down to the end. I'm just kind of, okay, well, he's just saying hello to everybody and goodbye to everybody, and I move along. Verse 18, Romans chapter 15. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyrium, Illyrium would be what we would call Croatia or Serbia, the old Yugoslavia, from Jerusalem up on around, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul said, I would have loved to come to you folks in Rome, but you've already got the gospel there. And so, because of my personal desire to not preach in places where the gospel was already preached, I have avoided, I've been hindered coming to you for that reason. But now, verse 23, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. This is him carrying to Jerusalem an offering that was given by verse 26. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, Macedonia to the north, Achaia, another name for Greece, to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And it has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things, material things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and that may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, tonight I ask you to speak through your word and challenge us. Here we are, just this evening, through your grace and through the provision of saints of God, $15,000 sent to the work in India for evangelism and church planting. God, what a blessing to be participants and witnesses of this great moment. And God, we pray and call upon your name that you will multiply this money and it'll be used for your glory and for calling Gentiles, the nations of the world, the nations of India, because there are multiple nations there in India, to hear your word and to glorify your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I said this is a great missionary letter. One preacher I heard said this is the greatest missionary letter of all time. I don't think we'd want to put it on the bulletin board in the hall. It might be a little, on the hall down there where you put the missionary letters, Brother Gary, it might run on a bit. You'd have to have it running out on the floor. I always have this question. Renee says, you need to write more. I said, honey, nobody reads the back anymore. The letters are always on the wall. You got to get everything on that front side. Well, this is a great missionary letter. Unfortunately, Paul wasn't limited to what one side could show. But let me just review with you. I think it's interesting to see how Paul is doing what missionaries still do. First of all, he starts out in verse 18. He says he's talking about what God has done through him. Our missionary letter is going to be telling you what God has done through us. He says, going to Jerusalem, I was in Macedonia where we were planting churches. The Macedonian Christians were so moved about the need of those saints in Jerusalem, they gathered up money. You can read about this in 2 Corinthians. How that in their poverty and their great, the depth of their poverty, they gave over and above their ability. And they sent it to these poor saints who needed literally food to eat there in that city. And he sent the money along through Paul. Paul made the delivery. So here's Paul receiving money from the Macedonians, taking money to Jerusalem. He says, I've never come to Rome. I'd love to come to Rome. He says, I've been hindered from coming because of my desire to preach the gospel in other places. But now I'm going to Spain. By the way, before I go to Spain, I am going to stop by Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem's not exactly on the way to Spain. You understand that. I mean, here's our map up here. Oh, it's covered up. Can't see it anymore. Okay, I mean, Spain's on this side of the Mediterranean Ocean, and Jerusalem's on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. So they're quite a ways apart. But, you know, once you get on a boat, what does it matter? You go one way, you go the other. Paul was making the rounds. He says, I'm going by you on my way to Spain. And he says, and when I go by, I want to be helped by you. Now, what was he asking? He was saying, I'm going to need some help to get to Spain, and so I'd like to tell you ahead of time so you can save up. Money from the saints of Macedonia to go to Jerusalem, money from the saints of Rome so that he could go to Spain, money from, no doubt, from other sources so that he could do his work. He says, I need your help so that by you I'll go to Spain. Brother Gary tonight said, we were missionaries from here, sent out from here, supported by faith promise offerings, so that we could go to Brazil. Now, you know what? Just recently, some folks in our church said, Brother Graham, Pastor Will, they call me, Pastor Will, tell them in America, thank you for sending the missionary. Isn't that great? Thank you. So I'm telling you, in the name of the saints of Brazil, Cochia, São Paulo, thank you for doing this work. Paul says here, that you might be, I might be blessed by you. Look at verse 29. I am sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So Paul is coming to bless them. He is asking to be helped by them. Verse 28. Wherefore, then when I perform this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you. And that the coming by you doesn't mean he just stops by. That you, they will be aiding him on his way into Spain. And then he gives, what else do missionaries ask for other than resources? They ask for prayer. Verse 30, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Missionary challenge, pray with us. Brethren, we need your support. Missionary letter says, brethren, pray for us. Look at the things he asked them to pray for. How do we pray for our missionaries? Well, by the way, we have a missionary conference coming up in April. Here we are in March. I mean, it's just around the corner. So what do we do in the mission conference? Well, we eat some yummy stuff. This is a good missionary conference. I really like this missionary conference. After the service, we eat lots of good stuff. But, you know, and all that's fun, and it's important to do. But what is the purpose? The purpose is to awaken in the church knowledge of the needs of the missionary, to raise up funds for support of missionaries, to raise up workers for the work of missions. Look what Paul says to here to them. First of all, he says, pray for me first that I would be delivered, verse 31, from them that do not believe. Evil men. In Judea, there were many enemies for the Apostle Paul. They tried to kill him on many occasions. In fact, I don't know the exact chronology, if this is the same trip he took when he was going back to Jerusalem, in which he was bringing money to the saints. He never got to Spain, at least as far as I understand this. When he got to Jerusalem, he was arrested. And then he got sent into prison. He spent years, a couple of years, in prison in Palestine before he was finally sent to Rome. He did get to Rome, but it wasn't the way he planned, although it was at government expense. He was sent, and he says, pray for me that God will deliver for me from those that do not believe. Now, by the way, did God answer this prayer of Paul? Well, yeah, he did answer the prayer of Paul, but not the way Paul intended. Paul was saying, I would like to be relieved of the attack of ungodly men. The fact is, when he got to Jerusalem, the ungodly men got him. And they got him arrested. And they got him in prison for a long time. Oh, God messed up there. No, God didn't mess up. God had a plan. And part of that plan was maybe Paul had overworked himself and needed to take a sabbatical and write some books, write some epistles, because that's what Paul was doing, writing from prison to his supporters. But here, God, he says, first of all, pray for me. Delivered from evil men. Delivered from environmental agents who aren't following the rules. I don't know if I told you the latest. We got back and went in to see the environmental office again. This has been an ongoing problem, and for those of you that may not know all the story, we had all the environmental permissions we needed. Everything was stamped, signed, and delivered, but as soon as we started the work, we were denounced by somebody, and agents came by and embargoed our work, and it was stopped for some time. Then the agent who came said, "You can build on this point anything you want. From this point, you can't build anything." He put a steel stake in the ground and said, "Here's the marker." And we said, "Great," because we had money and we had a builder ready to go. So we built on this side of the steel stake. And then when I got back to Brazil in June, I went to see an agent. And he said, "Oh, no, that stake's in the wrong place. It's 4 meters off. It should have been 4 meters this way. That's 12 feet this way." And I said, "You're telling me I'm going to have to knock down part of my building?" We had 12 feet of building all the way across. He said, "Oh, no, you won't have to knock it down. But by the way, you do have to turn yourself into the police in Baruiri for a criminal action." "Oh, thanks, I didn't know that." So I went down to talk to the people in the criminal department, and they had me fill a form out in which I acknowledged that the facts were basically the way they were described. I did make some adjustments, and they corrected them. Then as I was heading out the door, I thought, you know, it's a long trip home. I better stop by the facilities on the way out. And as I went upstairs, I found my next-door neighbor from where I lived all those years in Baruiri. I never knew. My next-door neighbor was a policeman for the environmental department. He said, "Pastor Will, what are you doing here?" And I explained. He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Tell you what now. Those people over there that told you to come here, don't do anything they say without talking to me first." I said, "Okay, sounds at least important, so I'm going to pay attention to this." So then later on, we were sent back to the environmental office, and my builder was with us. We had money. We wanted to build. We hired a lawyer. The lawyer says, "You can build," because they put the stake in the ground. They told you could build. You can build. And I'm like, "Yes, but they keep talking about criminal charges, and you guys don't go to jail. That's me. You know, if anybody goes to jail, I'm the guy." So we went in, and it just so happened to be we had a date set. The date was not, we weren't able to fulfill it. Something came up, so we rescheduled, and we happened to go in the day of the Christmas party. Nobody was working, and we got in there. The Christmas party hadn't started yet, and instead of meeting that one guy that we had always talked to before, he was the only one there when we arrived. But as we arrived, another person came in from his department. And then after having been very stern with us and very, you know, by the book, according to him, as he explained to his co-worker our situation, he begins to explain it as in a very sympathetic manner about how we have been victims. And then another worker from the department came in, and the two of them then explained to them what we were doing there in very sympathetic terms. And then no sooner had they finished that than the boss came in. The boss came in. They explained to him what we were going on, what was happening. The boss said, "Well, let me see that information." He took our documents and read through them. He said to me, "You're a victim here. There's nothing wrong here. You should have been allowed to build." I said, "Write it down." That, unfortunately, it has already been turned in, and it was a process, a criminal process. But our lawyer came to us later and said, "I've gotten it taken off. It's no longer a criminal process. It is a police investigation." Criminal processes, people go to jail. Police investigations, not so much. So I was relieved. And so there's where we stand. Our lawyer, I have a hearing on the 28th of March where I'll go before the judge and he'll examine our stuff. I'm assuming that since the director of the department that was the one who put the charges against us, since the director of that department said that I was a victim and I hadn't done anything wrong, I'm hoping that's going to, you know, go on my side. I hope that's going to work out. So pray for us. Pray that we will be delivered from evil men. And unlike Paul, I just soon not go to jail. I don't think I have any books to write, so I just soon stay out. My wife prefers too, because she'll be recovering from surgery at that point. Anyway, what else did Paul ask him to pray for? He told him, ask him to pray for his travels. He says in verse 32, "Then I might come unto you with joy by the will of God." Missionaries are praying what? They're praying to be delivered from evil men. praying for their travel safety, praying for circumstances. Your missionaries, as you walk down the hall and stop and pray for them and read about them, or maybe you get their email updates, you read, and they are surrounded by circumstances of life. This past month has been one, I've had more circumstances this month than I can take. I just didn't have less circumstances. I mean, losing my driver's license, having to fly home, my wife having surgery, having camp. I'm circumstanced up to here. I left on Monday night of the Carnival camp. I turned it over to the people. I had some people trained. I hired a guy to come in and turn on the water pumps and make sure everything was running. And they finished up on Tuesday night. And as they got ready to go, my coworker's dog that I'm taking care of bit five people. Why did you take Bear, Nathan? You should have taken Bidoo. He would have been much smaller. Nathan took his dog, left Bidoo with us. So apparently nobody is suing us, because I hadn't heard anything about this until somebody else informed me yesterday. But I've had enough circumstances. Pray for us, circumstances of life. Look at verse 32. What else did Paul pray for or ask for? He said that we may come into you with joy by the will of God, and that we may with you be refreshed. Now, let me say again tonight, every time I come through the doors back there, I, as a missionary from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, am refreshed. Missionaries need refreshment. I gave you, you guys get together every week, and some of you, you're so used to it, you don't mind staying home sometimes. Not this crowd. The Sunday night crowds are here all the time, right? But there are some of you, our people, our group, our congregation here, that they get enough encouragement. They don't need it all. They're able to get by with maybe only once a week or once a month. I'll tell you what, we enjoy it. We get back and the refreshment is palpable. We feel it. Came in the door, and oh, it's so good to see folks we know and love. And you folks love us. You let us know that you love us. Walked into the bathroom and guy remembered a story I told who knows when, and he reminded me of it. That's pretty encouraging that people remember things I say. Did they remember anything you say, Pastor Ryan? I'm always shocked when people remember something I've said. I had a guy come up to me one time and told me something I said, and I said, that's pretty good. I'm going to write that down. I'll say that again. We're refreshed. Our souls are encouraged and blessed because, A, we know you're praying for us, you're taking care of us, you're watching out for us, you love us. Encouragement. And then Paul says in verse 31, he says that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. He says, pray that our work will be blessed. So I say to you tonight, like the Apostle Paul, pray that God will bless our work. People ask me often, some people think I'm an expert in church planting. And I say, yeah. Because this is my reaction. How do you do it? And I say, well, it's kind of like we're there and God does it and we're watching and we're like, that's really good. Because from my experience, I'll spend months working with this person. We had an experience just recently in our present church. We worked with a young lady, and we thought we were making great progress and just found out she'd been fooling us. I mean, she'd just been tricking us. All that work and effort and Bible studies and praying and everything, it's just, as we say in Portuguese, nothing. You can do that. It's pretty good, you know? Nothing. And then, over here, where we had no investment, we have another girl in our youth group that a mission team came down from Maranatha Baptist University, and they were there a week, and during the school, her brother got excited about the Americans being there and brought her and her family to our church the Sunday after the Maranatha team, just as they were leaving, and we baptized her a couple of months ago, and she's faithful in the church and growing, and what a blessing. How do you start churches? I don't know. We're just there and doing the work And it's because we're doing the work. I mean, if we weren't doing the work, it wouldn't happen. But it's not always one for one. It's not always we do this work and this happens. No, it's like we're working. And there it is. Just springs up full grown. God does the work. So we need the blessing of God. You pray for us that God will bless our work. So, Paul sends this letter, encourages the giving, encourages the praying, thanks them for the refreshment and the blessing that they give to them. And there's one thing here that Paul doesn't do. There's one thing here that you might even be surprised about. When I first thought of it, I was a bit surprised. Paul's the missionary, and he's going from wherever he is when he writes this letter, and he goes to Jerusalem, and his plan is to come back by Rome and then to go on to Spain and preach the gospel there in Spain. He doesn't ask anybody to go with him. Now think about it. I mean, there are believers in Rome. There's some good ones. I mean, in Romans chapter 12, when you read starting in verse 3 down on to verse 9, you see people that have spiritual gifts. They've got gifts like governance and the gift of speaking for God, the gift of ministries, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving. And Paul doesn't say to anybody in the book in the city of Rome, and why don't some of you come with us? He was going. He was the career missionary. He didn't ask anybody to go. He just asked them to send him. Now, God does ask people to go. There was a night in 1985 that's sitting right where Gary is sitting now. I've tried to recruit Gary for many years. I've given up. Came in tonight and little Sammy said, "There's a guy up there that looks like you, Papa." I said, "Yes, he's been guilty of that for many years." But you know, Paul didn't ask anybody to go. And the fact is, there's three kinds of Christians. There are goers, and God calls people to go. And he sets them apart, and he puts a calling on them that they can't escape. If Brother Graham calls you to go, you'll give up. You'll quit. But if God calls you, you'll go. They're goers. God calls and equips and prepares goers. But for those goers to go, they also need senders. And that's the people of Rome. Everybody's not a goer. 99% of the people are senders. But now, I said there's three groups. There's the goers. God calls the goers. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that God called me to be a goer. And thank the Lord he called my wife too. But listen, the goers need senders. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with senders. They're important. They're as important as goers. Because goers don't go without senders. How shall they go except they be sent? That's what Paul says, right? How shall they go? How shall they preach unless they be sent? Unless they're called. There's one other group. It's not mentioned here, but apparently it exists. There's goers, there's senders, and there's disobedient. Because every believer is either a goer or a sender. Every person in this room is a goer or a sender. And if you're not a goer or a sender, and you're a Christian, then you're disobedient. Now, you've got a Faith Promise conference coming up here. What's the purpose of this? The purpose is to send goers and recruit senders. And you fit in. Don't be disobedient. I mean, that would be the worst thing to be disobedient. And everyone within their own ability and their own capacity, as God gives the measure of faith, as God blesses financially or in whatever other way, the going and the sending are taken care of by obedient Christians. That's what God wants you to be. Obedient. Obedient to his call. I want to thank you tonight for being obedient to God's call in our lives. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you might encourage this church, that they might be blessed by seeing how this work of evangelism and church planting has been going on since the beginning of the Christian church. And how the Apostle Paul was doing, in essence, something very similar to what we do today. And how the believers at Rome were called upon to do the things that we call upon believers in Gray, Tennessee to do. And Lord, may there be people tonight in a church like this, Lord. In a church like this, I can't help but believe there are some that you are working in to call to go. And so I pray, Lord, that they might sense that profound calling, unescapable call, and follow and obey. And then for those that are here, that they will sense the burden and the challenge and the importance of sending. Just like the Apostle Paul, missionaries today need senders. Oh God, raise them up, I pray. And maybe tonight, God is speaking to your heart to make you a sender, to make you a goer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I know this has been just a report, basically. Reminder. But maybe tonight someone would say, Brother Graham, do pray for me. I don't know the will of God for sure. I'm not confident exactly of what God wants in my life, but I'm open. If God wants me to go, I'm willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Anyone like that tonight? Just someone whose heart God's touched? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Maybe you've already said that. But those of you here that aren't goers, say, Lord, here am I. Help me send. Help me send. And put that person on the field. May God bless you. Thank you for it, Pastor.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask that they begin to play through softly. Never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody the opportunity to trust the Lord as their Savior. Maybe you've come to this church service, but you've never said yes to Jesus. If you'll come, let us take a Bible. A man with a man, a lady with a lady would be happy to point you to the Lord. And then tonight, what a privilege it is to have part in sending missionaries around the world. No doubt about it. This is a faithful couple who's been, as Dr. Clarence Sexton would say, just everlastingly at it. Just going on, being faithful. And we've had a part in helping them stay there. We give God the glory for that. Maybe you just want to come tonight and thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to give. Maybe you want to come tonight and ask God to prepare you for the mission conference coming up. Begin to pray now. God, what would you have us to do for faith promise? What would you have us to do above our tithe? See, the tithe is the Lord's. That's non-negotiable. Belongs to the Lord. But a free will offering above and beyond faith promise, sending missionaries around the world, getting the gospel to the people on planet Earth. What a privilege to be involved in that. You should be involved in that. There's no doubt about it. God's not going to lead anybody to say, well, just don't give anything to it. No. God will lead you to give something to faith promise. There's no doubt about it. And if you call this church your church home, this is a great challenge tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come. Just obey the Lord tonight. As he sings, you come now. Would you please?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy yielded.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're playing through softly. You know, everybody should be a missionary, really. Just carrying the good news. Some do it across the sea. But all of us should do it across the street, no doubt about it. Telling others the gospel. Aren't you glad you live in a country where the gospel is prevalent? Aren't you glad you live in a country where you heard the gospel preached and you said yes? And because of that, you have peace that you're going to be with Jesus for all eternity. Now we have a responsibility to take what's been given to us and give it to others. No doubt about it. I asked Brother Gary to sing another verse. God is speaking to you. I want you to just obey the Lord, asking God to help us tonight. No doubt about it. He's singing, "You Come Now." Would you please?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow.
Singing, I like it when children respond.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
You can look this way. Brother Graham, if you wouldn't mind, sir, I want you to have a seat here on the front row. And
let me just say one more word. Absolutely. I forgot. My wife will hold me accountable if I don't say this. This week, they'll probably finish the phase we're in right now, putting on that floor, and it's the ceiling at the bottom and floor to the top. And we'll also finish all the money. So that's how it works out. All the work and all the money will finish this week. But the nice thing about that is that was something we had to do in a big chunk. We had to have all the money in hand before we did it. Now we have a situation where we can put in windows, we can put in doors, we can put in tile, we can put in plumbing, we can put in electrical things. And those are things that can be done in smaller portions, smaller amounts of money. So just to let you know where we stand, we'll hope to be doing, talk to Brother Gary, possibility of a team coming. And at some date and coming down, help us do that kind of thing. So thank you, brother.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to have you to sit on this front pew. Ms. Renee, if you wouldn't mind to come and sit with him. And Preacher Lashley, if you wouldn't mind, sir, I believe this will mean something to Brother Graham and Ms. Renee. As he was preaching on this and how the Apostle Paul was asking for the prayers of God's people, the Lord just laid on my heart to end this service with praying over them. And asking the Lord to keep his hand upon them, blessing them. And I'm going to ask you to come pray over them, preacher, if you wouldn't mind to do so. This will be our closing prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. And when preacher says amen, I want you just to remain right where you're at to give Graham and Renee time to get out to the lobby, okay? And then after that, you can be dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you.
I remember many years ago, when Brother Graham was on the staff here, at Bob Jones, the missionary, Bob Jones gave an appeal to mission for those that surrender their lives to missions. And I hated to lose Brother Graham, but that night he surrendered to be a missionary. And I've been down there. The hand of God has been on the work. And so that's whatever missionary needs, Brother Graham. And the Lord blessed you. And the converts are solid, and they're living holy, godly, separated lives. And I appreciate that about missionaries, not only getting them to the altar, but teaching them holy living. So I thank God for. So I'm glad to pray for you that and God has already anointed and blessed him. And I just, Father, I pray in heaven that as he goes back, Lord, and to do further work in the kingdom of God down there in Brazil, I pray, Lord, he needs a special touch now. Lord, we need you. Every step of the way, we need you from earth to glory. And Lord, I pray that the hand of God would rest upon him as he goes back, he and Renee. And they're conscious of their need of the Lord. And you've used them. You've worked through them. They've been willing to let you work through them, and we thank you for that. Lord, send the money in for the needs that's coming in down there. And keep your hand upon him until the Lord comes in the air for us or calls him home. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done through these dedicated servants of God. Lord, our heart goes out to them. I've been there. I've seen it, God, what you've done. And I give you glory for it. And continue to bless Brother Jody as he leads in the mission work here around the world. God, keep your hand on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church as we send missionaries around the world. Thank you for this good service tonight. Again, touch and anoint Brother Graham and Renee as they go back. And may the mighty hand of God rest upon them all the rest of their missionary service there in Brazil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.